Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
All hands on deck and welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, August 30th, and the reason I give the date today, we're closing out, coming close to closing out a month of a lot of news items. Of course, we're still dealing with the hurricane aftermath in Houston, in that area. And I don't want to just mention Houston because so much of a wide area down in Texas and Louisiana is suffering under floodwaters. What an incredible, it's just really, it's, our prayers go out to those people. And, you know, we're doing what we can to help. Global Star Radio Network, thank you so much for airing this broadcast, as well as BTR Blog Talk Radio for the fine folks there. Tune in to both Global Star as well as BTR, and of course for as long as we can on YouTube, but the censorship is massive. On this morning's program, I want to mention this, I'm going to toss it to Joe. In this morning's program, I introduced the phrase Rotor Front Kampfverbund. Can you say that three times fast? Rotor Front Kampfverbund, Kampfverbund, which is German for Alliance of the Red Front Fighters. It's abbreviated RFB. Perhaps a better way to identify it would be Red Front or Rot Front. Red Front. And the emphasis of my show today was to get people understanding when they see that Antifa march out there. And you see that clenched fist in the signs of the Antifa people. Understand where it come from in modern times. This Rotor Front Kampfverbund, and I took 3 years of German 40 years ago. Okay, so you think I could pronounce, well, I can't even pronounce English words, but that aside. This was the paramilitary organization of the Communist Party of Germany during the Weimar Republic in the pre-World War II days. And they, in fact, the first groups, the local groups, or the RFB, were established back in July 1924. But this was a true communist organization. It was a paramilitary organization. And it was to fight against the National Socialists, the Nazis. What it turned out to be, and the whole Nazi versus the Rotfront or the and I'm not going to try to pronounce it again, but you get the idea, the Red Front. This was something different. And I would urge people to understand the history behind that. And the reason I bring this up, I did address this in my program, the reason I brought this up is because we are fighting in America today this Antifa, this leftist communist party, this collective. And it is a collective, and it is leftist, it's communist. It's totally pure communist. And that fist, that up in the air fist, of course, the clenched fist was responsible for, or Rot Front was responsible for the fight against the Nazis. And this is what we are led to believe, that hey, these Antifa thugs are fighting against the National Socialists, against the Nazis here in this country. You see how the pretext is so tenuous. But yet, they're attempting to make it believable, and that's what I addressed today in my morning show. I wanted to plug that. I want to throw that out there because I think the history behind the communist movement in this country and what they have, the template that they have created in today. If you look back in history, look what happened back in Germany. 1920s, and the violence, the ultimate violence between the Nazis, the real Nazis now, in this Communist Party.
Joe, what did you, what you and John had, yeah, you and John had a good show today.
Yeah, we did. We got into, a lot today on the show. We talked about Antifa a little bit and some of the media coverage. We also talked about President Trump pardoning Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And we played a clip of Jim Acosta asking President Trump a question about that pardon, where he responded with a laundry list of facts.
There you go.
Pointing out the past pardons of past presidents, from Bush to Clinton, and specifically Obama, going through the list of, you know, whether underground terrorists that were pardoned, yep, other terrorists that were pardoned, murderers that were pardoned, drug dealers that were pardoned, and the left, and nobody seemed to have a problem with those pardons. But Sheriff Joe Arpaio, convicted after not being given a fair trial by a jury of his peers, instead a federal judge convicted him, and he was convicted for doing his job enforcing immigration law in his county, and he was railroaded. And everybody agrees that he was railroaded, except you're part of the, you know, insane left, you know. And this was the right move. Many people were taking Trump to task not only for the pardon, but the timing of the pardon, saying that doing so on Friday, the day that the Hurricane Harvey was making landfall in Texas, they were claiming that he was trying to steal the show, steal the news coverage, by issuing the pardon. But in reality, it was a fantastic news dump by Trump, strategically planned. You know, news dumps are done primarily on Fridays with the hope that most people are paying attention to the weekend more so than the news cycle. So they do these news dumps on Friday. And he did so at the same time a massive hurricane was hitting the country, to hopefully keep it more buried in the news. But obviously everything the president does comes under just insane scrutiny. And this was no different. Looking at a number of folks, go to HagmanReport.com. Bookmark that site. Eric's been working on it. He's been doing he's done a number of cosmetic changes to the site, and it looks really good. We got some great stuff up there. There is Peter Chalka wrote an article today. Vile Kathy Griffin is back, and it talks about her latest. She was on an interview where she took back her apology about the severed Donald Trump head. And
that didn't take long.
No, it didn't. And there's a few other interesting stories up there. The media going after Trump and the Texas flood victims. Now, on newsbusters.org, there's a few cartoons. Charlie Hebdo cover mocks Texas victims as drowning Nazis, as well as a Politico cartoon that basically says the Texans are Confederate neo-Nazis that want to secede from the Union, and that they're being rescued by government, and it's you know, hypocritical, they say, that they're being rescued by government when they want to secede from the country. It's obviously just they're just constantly mocking and trying to continue to further divide the country at a time when you see the, you know, how the real heart of the American people are coming together to help all the people in Houston. They're continuing to try to promote and push this division, this political division in the country. Also, there's an interesting story about the Amir Nawan that is up on Hagman Report House account, and it's tied to intelligence staffer. A former IT aide suspected of stealing equipment and data from Congress still has an active secret email account on the House computer system, even though he has been banned from the congressional network because of a criminal investigation into cybersecurity violations. The article is on Hagman Report, goes back to the Daily Caller, and it talks about the Amir Nawan and his secret account that he has, which is tied to an intelligence staffer. Folks, you can read that article at HagmanReport.com. Yeah, you see that? There's like a little fly down here, and it keeps buzzing
it's
around.
It's not a little fly. It's just a regular fly that...
it keeps buzzing around.
Oh, no, we're like Obama.
Okay.
We're full of it, right? No.
And we have...
Yeah,
go ahead. We have our guest in this first hour, Lisa Haven, with us. She's going to come on to talk about a number of things. And Lisa, it's great to have you back on the show. We didn't get a chance to talk before the show, but I saw one of your YouTubes today, And I believe this is what you want to lead off with. You found a congressional report from 1977 that details some very interesting things. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, first of all, I'm excited Arpaio got pardoned. I'm in Arizona, and I love the heck out of him. I mean, he's been with us for years. He shouldn't have ever been in jail in the first place. So I'm excited and hoping, you know, the judge goes forward and it all goes good, any better. Otherwise, he's in a lot of trouble with us Arizonans here. But that aside, yeah, this report that I did, it's pretty bombshell, and I've actually been reading through it for the past couple of days. And what it is there's two of them. One's a congressional hearing that I've read through, and it's hundreds of pages long. But it is called Biological Testing Involving Human Subjects by the Department of Defense, and that's from 1977. And it's a hearing on this. So what they've done is they had this congressional hearing back in 1977 to talk about all the times that they have experimented on the population unwittingly and wittingly, meaning people who were involved and knew about the testing and people who were unknowingly test subjects. So they're having this hearing trying to discuss how to make that stop. But in the discussions, you find that there's over, and this is only going back to 1977 and prior to 1977. I can only imagine going forward. They don't give us that information because they don't unclassify stuff for like 50 years. So we won't even know the extent today. But in there was over 239 different experiments, and they categorized, and I'll share some of them a little later. But these were all done on the people, all documented, all reported. And it also reported that the U.S. Army conducted, a lot of these on unsuspected persons, everything from bacterias to mind control to a lot of it was medical related, like they would want to test a strain of the flu or certain reactions to fluids, and they would just drop it. And the places that are referenced in particular are like your New York City, you have your subways, your airports, your all the main areas that you think of. That's the areas that they're dropping them in. And then not only was it conducted by government organizations like the military, and also the agricultural department also did it as well, but also that obviously the DOD and the private sector was also doing it. So lots of crazy experiments. And I think that, I like to bring up some of these older documents because people forget and they think, oh, that's not true. We're not being experimented on. And no, that's just out there. And the fact of the matter is it's 100% true. It's 100% happening. Here's proof from 1977. Imagine what's happening today. And I kind of, got the idea to go back into it because of what happened in the United Kingdom. I don't know if you guys saw the report on the mist that hit the UK. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yep, I did. I saw
so.
That. And it was, was there any resolution to the origins?
Not a full resolution. I know there was some talk that it could have been, some ship in the area, but it's under investigation. There's nothing that's solid, but it's basically a mist that there was hundreds of people on the beach in the United Kingdom, and I'm blanking on the name of the beach, but they were there, and all of a sudden this mist comes in, and they just think it's a fog, and everybody sits in it. Well, it sent hundreds of people to the hospital. People were rubbing their eyes, itchy skin, watery eyes, these kinds of things, hard breathing. Was also reported there, but these are the kinds of things that they'll pin it to something else when all along it was an experiment done on humankind. Now, which I thought, gosh, and they're still doing that today. They do it with us. I've reported on this a couple of times on my channels, but, about 8 or 9 years ago, I had some good friends at Luke Air Force Base in the Valley, And a friend of mine, she was told by the director there, because she was actually good friends with them, and I was good friends with her, to stay. But he told her to stay inside because they were going to test the strain of the flu over the valley that particular day. And so she was told to stay indoors to not be, you know, impacted by this particular strain. And obviously, shortly thereafter, people started getting sick and the whole nine yards. But these are just little tidbits of things that I've heard on the inside that actually happen. But yet we're not hearing anything about it. And here's the thing, the office of the president, the executive office, we have the president. He doesn't know about all of this. We've got so many divisions within the government that each division is kind of their own little thing, and they will go off on their own tangent, the CIA, the DOD, and do their own thing. And so there's lots of experiments being conducted by the different departments within the government. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. And it makes sense that the chief executive officer, the president, does not know, the executive branch does not know, and it's unfortunate, because I think a lot of things would change if he did. Yeah. And you know, we're seeing that insulation, additional insulation around President Trump, just as an aside to what you're saying, but I don't want to get too far in the weeds there off the topic, but yeah, it makes perfect sense, and it's a shame that we have to see this. But back to your topic of the finding, the congressional findings, and this is shameful, isn't it? This is horrible.
It is horrible. It just makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, we are supposed to be a free country, and we're not guinea pigs. And they even stated that in the report. The first, I would encourage everybody, you know, go get that report, check it out. You can Google it if you just put in, you know, biological testing involving human subjects by the DOD 1977 Hearing Subcommittee on Health and Scientific Research. That's kind of it in a nutshell. But if you Google that, or you can go to my channel and grab it on the YouTube video, there's a section with more information. Read the first four pages. Probably some of the most opening stuff, but if you're going to go through at least that. And what you're going to find is the admission of it. The evidence for it comes later in the document, but the full-fledged admission from Congress, from all the various departments, the admission that it's done by the private sector, the admission that it's done by witting and unwitting, to people who know about it and two people who don't. And so there's a lot of detail even in the beginning of that report, but it's not something that's gone. And they even said that the people didn't like it because we're guinea pigs. And then they went on to debate whether or not the people should have consent about it. No, you know, or
as if that's as if that should even be a question by itself. I mean, come on, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, no, we have a say. We have a say, you know, and we have a right if we want to be a guinea pig or not. And I sure the heck don't want to be a guinea pig for any department of the government.
No, I totally agree. No. I just wonder how many people, when confronted with this evidence in the form of a congressional report, would deny, even looking at that, would deny its existence or deny its authenticity, or just deny, oh, this stuff doesn't happen. You know, it's just amazing to me the level of absurd denial out there. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's why I try to go and find the actual documentations. And try to pull up the document so you can't say this is just a bunch of hellabaluga or, you know, blown out of the water. I have the document in front of me. You can even go to the government website and grab it for yourself. You know, so it's like, but people still are like, yeah, that's not real. I'm like, yeah, okay, have a nice day, you know. But that's why on my channel I try to focus, well, let me show you the solid evidence. And then here you have it. And there was solid evidence. I even brought up some of them. I think, you know, Project Artichoke, later morphed into MK Ultra, was one. Project Plume Bob was another. There was a few that I had brought extra documents onto about that. Here's just some of the things that they've done over the years to give you a kind of brief. In 1911, a doctor for the Rockefeller Institute, right, at the time, injected 145 hospital patients with syphilis, and they weren't given a willing or unwilling thing. 1919, there were testicular transplant experiments on inmates in the prison. We know that this happens often in prisons and mental institutions. Under the support, again, of the Rockefeller Institute, they infected humans with cancer cells. Now, this is 1931. 1932, another syphilis study. 1935, millions of people died from PELLAGRA, pellagra, I think, is how it's pronounced. And the Public Health Service knew for 20 years that it was caused by a certain deficiency, but they didn't want to tell the population because they wanted to study the effects of it. They wanted to see how it worked. Millions died as a result. 400 prisoners in Chicago injected with malaria. That was in 1940. That was a bigger report. Many probably heard of that. During World War I, President Wilson created Chemical Warfare Service as a branch of the U.S. Army to conduct the mustard gas experiment. That's another prominent one. Over 4,000 members of the armed forces. And look, this goes on and on. 16 mentally disabled patients refrigerated for 120 hours to study the effects. That's 1943. Project Paperclip. And so, look, I have, like, I don't know, like 80 of these. It's disturbing. And it goes all the way to 19. I think I had some. Let me share some current ones.
Okay.
CIA poisons the drinking water with chemicals in D.C. or more, not so current, but that's 1968, a little bit more. 1975, a cancer-causing virus is developed at a virus section at Fort Detrick Center for Biological Warfare. It is also believed that the facility harbors the virus with no immunity. Now, all these have links, so if people go to my channel, they can actually read the document that's linked to it. So I'm not just spilling it. There's a document there for it. 1978, CDC conducts experiments on New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco with the Hep B vaccine, and they actually used gay men as their guinea pigs. By 1930, 30% of the test patients became HIV positive. So, 1980.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but there's I remember maybe 5 years ago, there was a story about some documents being released revealing the extent of STDs that were given to a number of people in South America by the U.S. through a false vaccination program. But they were really, I think it was 40,000 people were infected with syphilis, if I remember correctly. Or it was one of those diseases.
Yeah, not only do we do it here.
They didn't even apologize for it after it came out, after the information came out. This came out during the Obama administration. They refused to apologize for infecting the 40,000 people, and this was done in the 70s. But I didn't mean to interrupt the list.
Mm. No, that's good. That's good. That's the thing. And Bill Clinton even apologized. I have a clip of him apologizing, and I'm forgetting what specifically for, but for it was for doing some kind of experiment on the population. Here's one from 1990, a little more. Up, but 1,500 babies, black and Hispanic babies in particular in California, were given the measles vaccine. Parents were not told that their kids were used as those experiments. Let me just vaccinate your child and you have no say in that. 1994, John D. Rockefeller claimed that for the last 50 years, the DOD had conducted thousands of experiments on military personnel. That's this one you've probably heard a lot about, the nerve gas, the mustard gas, the ionizing radiation, the chemicals, hallucinogen, drugs, all during that time. A lot of that is pretty public. And then obviously 1996, Gulf War soldiers exposed to chemical agents. 2000, the U.S. Air Force and rocket marker Lockheed Martin sponsored a Loma Linda University study that pays 100 Californians to consume a dose of perchlorate, a toxin component of rocket fuel that causes cancer and can mess up babies and serve as, you know, obviously hinder you from the ability to have babies. And that's just the piece, you know, that's 2000. There's a lot of stuff that hasn't been released, that we're not being told about, that they are using you and me and people all across the country as guinea pigs. And I'm just sick of it. We have a right to know. We have a congressional hearing on it. We have all the documentation. And people think a lot of us are well aware. So your listeners, my listeners, we know what's going on. But a lot of people are so unaware. And yet it continues to happen like under the radar. And I think we just need to continually bring awareness to it because we can't allow that to go on anymore.
No, you're exactly right. Just the other day, the BBC ran an article that said lithium, we should put lithium in the drinking water to help bipolar disorder and the overall general mood of the population. We see stories like that all the time, and we know a number of other chemicals, the stuff that they spray in the air, put in the food, the bisphenol A that's in the plastic bottles and containers, the number of chemicals they use from the FDA and the EPA that make their way, into our food supply, the glyphosate and whatnot. And this is, you have what you talked about, which is the, intentionally experimenting on unwitting participants in the civilian population. But then you also have, this mass dosing of the population through toxins that are put in food and water in the air that we don't even really know about, that's not being done for scientific study purposes, that is just killing us anyway.
And if I can just add one thing, Lisa and Joe, to what you were saying. Lisa, Owen Schroyer from InfoWars was at an Antifa protest. I don't know whether you saw this clip or not. And there were some comments by the Antifa, well, I don't want to say they're Antifa. They were anti-Trump protesters of different ilks. But one of the shouts was about, just stick to your fake stories about gay frogs. Okay. And that's kind of touches on what you're saying there. The people are so clueless about what the hell's going on. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there.
We're right up against the break, folks. Our guest is Lisa Haven. Go to her YouTube channel and make sure you subscribe. There, Eric has it up on the screen. And go to her website. Is it lisahaven.com or .net?
.news.
.news. .news. Thank you for that. Yeah, lisahaven.news and her YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe there. She has awesome content that she puts up daily, and it's a channel we are subscribed to and follow regularly. We'll be right back on this edition of the Hagman Report. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. We are joined by our guest, Lisa Haven. And just before the break, we were talking about some discoveries that she's made and has been reporting on as far as the military and the U.S. government infecting and sickening other people by using them as human guinea pigs for their experimental purposes. And during the break, we started to talk about a topic that we should really get into here in this segment. That is the oppressive nature and censorship that we are seeing all across the internet, on social media, on YouTube, and internet service providers are going after websites, and Google is, you know, continuing to clamp down by making it harder for people to find conservative-leaning content. What do you think, Lisa? How long are we going to... I mean, they've done everything they can to demonetize and you know, hide the content from other people. What's the next step? I mean, are we going to even have platforms we're allowed to broadcast on anymore?
I don't know. And that's the scary part. Like, you know, when I think about it all, YouTube kind of went backwards the second that Google took over. And we know Google is in bed with the left. That's just the truth of it. We know that through the Google memo, through James Damore, who went and said, hey, you're pointing out conservatives. You're saying I can't have a view on what conservatives say. And he stood up as a Google employee and stood against Google and said, I feel like I'm bashed if I say I'm a conservative or have those certain views. And he was fired as a result. But see, at least then he stood against and filed a lawsuit. I think in order to win this thing, we have to, en masse, file lawsuits, stand against. I mean, we really have to take action. If we sit back with our hands tied and just let them slap us in the face, they are going to slap us in the face and we're going to get drugged in the mud, and we can't do it alone. And that's the thing. I mean, all your listeners, all my listeners, everyone has to help do it together. I have a friend, and I told you this off air, but High Impact Flicks, he has a YouTube channel with over 300,000 some odd subscribers, and he recently got slammed off of or taken off of YouTube, but in a devious kind of way where Google said, oh, we're going to take away your Google Plus account. Well, in order to have a YouTube channel, you have to have a Google Plus account. So they took his Google Plus account. He wasn't allowed on there for 3 days. And finally, through dialogue back and forth, they came around and let him back on, but only because he also got a lot of his viewers. He had like a friend put up a video through his system, but he got a lot of them to email Google and YouTube and say, you better put him back on or we're going to drop you. And that's kind of what we have to do. We have to go against them. Otherwise, we're in a lot of trouble and we're going to lose it. And we really are in an information war. And look, you guys over there are on the front lines. I'm on the front lines. InfoWars is on the front lines. All the other YouTube channels, we're all on the front lines and we're in the battlefield. So what we see and what they're doing to us, we have to make it public. We have to let people know, and we have to ask for people to help us make action, help us fix this. Because if we don't, and if we don't stand together, and if we don't do it now, then we are going to have a suppression of our constitutional rights in the very near future.
Yeah, you're exactly right. One thing that's interesting in the media as of late is we see more news organizations actually calling out the Antifa people for being the violent fascist thugs that they are. And I don't know if they're doing this because of the immense blowback they have been getting for not covering that side of things or what the case is. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I think, well, maybe if they're going to start, you know, covering this for the way that it is and the truth of the matter, as, you know, that they are this violent extremist group, you know, maybe some of these corporations and companies will stop listening to their demands of silencing, you know, other broadcasters and organizations that they disagree with. At the same time, you know, you have still this progressive left that is not involved with Antifa, but they're still just extreme in their political views, and they are really going after capitalists. And you know, one of the Antifa chants this weekend, you know, was going after the police officers, and ended up, you know, saying no cops, no America at all. And maybe, you know, if we're lucky, we'll see the media actually calling this what it is, that these people are anti-American, domestic extremists. But I believe that the left is going to continue to be oppressive and tyrannical in their silencing of conservative and right-leaning news sites and organizations. And what's really crazy is the fact that it is not just the far right or the white supremacists they're going after. They have labeled all people who are Trump supporters, who are voting or who want to see the Trump agenda implemented, as Nazis, as, you know, right-wing white supremacist extremists. And it's very disheartening, and we see the continuation of you know, these calls for violence, and people are putting on more rallies. It's going to continue to be a tense situation. But what will be interesting to see is we have some you know, pushback as far as lawsuits. People are starting to come together to sue YouTube, to sue Google, and I think we need more of this happening. I think people in the alternative media need to band together, join these lawsuits, and take action as best that they can, because we can't sit back and take this and let them, you know, just silence us into non-existence. And that's the way it's going to go if we don't push back.
Amen to that. And I mean, on a side note, I'll ask, did you guys get that? Because I'm part of a lawsuit. Did you guys get that information that I sent
yes.
to John?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But that's just it. I mean, I'm happy to see that they're actually pointing out some Antifa thugs. And it's only, I believe, like you said, John, because of the pressure that's been that's been put on the people, because of the pressure that the people are putting on the mainstream media, and they're losing credibility. CNN is ablaze right now. People are, I've even noticed, like, at my gym, I was so excited. I'm like, can you turn off CNN? But I think more of them are starting to switch over to Fox and turn off CNN because of the attacks that Donald Trump is doing. So I would encourage everyone, we have to continue that battle and just say, you know, when somebody says, oh, I saw this story on CNN, say, yeah, they're fake news. Why do you even watch them? Move on. You know, don't make it a battle of conservative versus right, left, you know, none of that. Just, we have to do it in such a way that we're all doing it together and say, oh, that's not a good one. Yeah, move on. Right? But we have to take initiative, and we have to do that, and we have to start winning people and showing them the truth. And they're not going to get that on CNN or MSNBC or ABC or, quite frankly, any of the mainstream media. And that's why we're hated and attacked so much. When Donald Trump got in, things lit ablaze for us. The censorship went skyrocketing. I mean, like, mm-hmm. And I think that's because the left and the globalists and the deep state, they all freaked out because they're seeing that we're actually making an impact.
Yeah, and that's right. And that says a lot for you. It says a lot for us. We're making a difference. Therefore, we're getting the brunt of the censorship. And folks, support Lisa Haven, lisahaven.news. And of course, subscribe to her YouTube channel. Everyone, I'm sure, knows her. Can I call for a diesel cam? We should have a diesel cam. But no, Lisa Haven is fantastic. And of course, Our dog Diesel. There's Diesel. There's Diesel. There you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, he melts like butter when he gets in my land, huh?
See, now this is what really, this is reality. This is life. This is, there's nothing fake about what's going on here. And I love it. So, Lisa, you know, you are just wonderful. Go ahead.
Want to switch gears here and ask you about the latest that we're seeing out of North Korea, the missile launch over Japan, that has the world, I guess you could say, back on edge to some degree, worried about what North Korea is capable of and what they, as they say, they're going to continue to do these missile tests. With the missile they launched over Japan, you have a number of countries that are around North Korea. Japan obviously doesn't really have the capabilities to launch missiles back at North Korea, but you have South Korea threatening North Korea now over their latest missile launch, and you have China, as well as the UN, stepping in to warn North Korea that what they're doing is, you know, could potentially lead to war. Anything, what do you see happening with this North Korea situation? Do you think it's going to continue to fizzle away like we've seen it do so many times in the media in the past? Do you think that will continue to allow these missile tests to continue, or do you think we'll see some type of retaliation, whether shooting down of a missile, verbal threats? What do you think is going to transpire from this North Korea issue?
Well, I know that they recently re-threatened Guam a couple hours ago. Just adding a little bit, I'm like, oh, I saw that real quick. And before I answer that, I want to say one quick thing. I did a report a couple of days ago, or about a week ago, that I found this North Korean news source, and it starts with a U. It's got a funky name. I can't pronounce it. But they had this counter on there, like at the end of the video is this countdown, and it ended, originally I thought it ended on the 27th, but it actually ended on the 28th. It was the last, there was the unhighlighted day, was the last one was the 27th. The last highlighted day was the 28th. So it could have been either or, and I'd said the 27th. But actually, as it turns out, it was on the 28th. So that video turned out to be an advertisement that North Korea was going to shoot and launch a missile over Japan on the 28th. And that's exactly what they did. But it was hidden in this news video. So I subscribed to that channel in case they put any more stuff out. But it was like this mysterious countdown. It was crazy. And then when I heard the thing in Japan, I'm like, yep. Okay, that lays precedence to it, precedence. But as far as what they're going to do, I have no idea. Because he's like, he's pushing the envelope more than he normally has, especially by sending something over Japan. This is a little bit of a cross line for me. Mm-hmm. Like I see him shooting missiles all the time, left and right. They do that. They've done that a lot. But to cross the line and go over Japan, now we're kind of in a new neighborhood, in my opinion, because normally it stays on the other side, So I think we are going to shoot some missiles at some point out of the air. I do see that that's a possible response from America, maybe, China or whoever, but I don't know how long they'll let it go on, especially with Trump in office. So it's anyone's game. It's hard really to say, but I would say we'll definitely at some point shoot some of those missiles down. As far as Kim Jong-un himself, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Dude. There's a lot of players.
What do you guys think? I mean, what's your view? I mean, where do you think he's headed?
I go back and forth, but, I do believe that North Korea is obviously this big international global conspiracy of elites who really control what nations like North Korea do, as well as America and China. And I believe that they have some plan to deceive the American people in some way, at the same time bring down North Korea. It's also one of the few countries that are left without a bank of international settlements or a central bank. So they're going to have to, in order to bring in their new world order, they're going to have to neutralize those last countries that don't have those banks. I think in the overall planning, yes, the U.S. will go to war with North Korea as well, or North Korea and Iran. Those are the two countries that are, constantly paraded in our news as being our enemies. and, you know, the biggest threats to our country. At least North Korea is using the rhetoric, acting like it. But like, kind of like Iraq with Saddam Hussein in Iraq, there was, you know, some secret agreements that the Iraqi government had with the U.S. government. And I believe, you know, part of the invasion of Kuwait that Saddam Hussein carried out, he was urged to do that or given the green light to do it by, you know, the U.S. government. Then we turned around and kind of gave him a slap on the wrist, then later to take him out years afterwards. And I believe something similar with North Korea and the U.S. and China. China uses North Korea as its kind of like attack dog or the wild card. And I think that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we really don't know about, nor will we ever know about. But they do have a grand plan for North Korea, the U.S., China, Russia, and Iran.
I think I agree with that assessment, especially when you consider, you know, the central bank, that there's not one there. I mean, I think that's definitely a play in the deck of the New World Order. They're going to need that in order to implement what they want to do, in order to do what they want to do. I think that's a key factor as far as North Korea is concerned. So I agree.
Yeah, it should be, you know, we're in very volatile times, and it seems to be no different with international relations. Lisa, we got about 12 minutes left. Is there anything else that you want to cover that we didn't get a chance to get into yet?
Yeah, there's one more. I don't know if you guys saw there is a bill that recently was passed on August 22nd, 2017. It's called House Resolution 76. Have you guys seen that one yet?
No.
What's the name?
House
HR 76. Well,
no, I mean the title of the bill.
Well, hold on. I got to open it.
is that the
warrantless
separation?
Searches.
Okay. Because all right,
it's brand new.
Okay.
It's granting the consent and approval of Congress for the Commonwealth of Virginia, Maryland, and the DOC, the District of Columbia, to enter into a compact relating to the establishment of Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission. Basically, it allows, you know, those in the government to do what they need to do on the Metro Rail, okay?
Right.
Which overall, there's nothing wrong with that. Great, we need that. They have to have oversight. They have to be able to access those areas. What I take problem with, and all of the congressmen cited except for five, but what I take issue with is there's verbiage hidden a little further on in the bill, I think about page 4, and here's what it says, and I'm going to read it, and it says, enter upon the WMATA rail system and upon reasonable notice and a finding by the chief executive order that a need exists upon any lands, water, or premises adjacent to, that means any homes nearby the railway system, including no limitations, property owned or occupied by the government for the purpose of making inspections, investigations, examinations, and testing as a commission may deem necessary to carry out the purposes of the MSC compact, and such entry shall not be deemed as a trespass, which means they just come on your property. The commission shall make reasonable reimbursement for any damages done to the property. The issue that I take with that is, number one, this is basically allowing searches and seizures without, allowing searches and seizures in Virginia, Maryland, and the District of Columbia of all those who live in the vicinity or in the proximity of that rail system. So if you're in that area and they want to do some kind of inspection on your property, they literally can come in without a warrant, without a reason, and go on your property without any of that. And that's what this bill allows. So they really need to take off that section, because I don't care who you are, just because you live close to something doesn't mean that the government can go and knock on your door in the name of inspection and access your property in that manner. And like I said, there was five people who stood against this. One of them was Justin Amash. I think he's Michigan, and that could be wrong, but Justin Amash, A-M-A-S-H, he's a representative, and he sent out a tweet the day that this thing was passed, and this is what he said in his tweet. Only five of us voted against the bill allowing government to enter search private property in parts of Virginia, District of Columbia, and Maryland. And then he goes, without a warrant. So he admits that this is basically a warrantless seizure to those who are near the rail system, but he was very unhappy that the bill had passed and even put it on his Twitter page, and he's one of the representatives there. So that's why, you know, and it was actually signed and sealed. Unfortunately, I wish Trump hadn't signed it, but he did, and I love the heck out of Trump, but I think this section just needs a little more attention to and brought out of that bill.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we got to keep Trump accountable. There's going to be things that he does that we do not agree with, and we need to call him out when that does happen. Lisa, I want to kind of switch gears here as we're in the last few minutes. This article is from the Huffington Post, and I want to get your opinion on it because I know these are issues that you deal with on a regular basis. Hundreds of Christian leaders denounce anti-LGBT Nashville statement. A day after evangelical leaders released a manifesto railing against same-sex marriage in the LGBT community, hundreds of Christian leaders and thousands of other concerned citizens have come forward with a strong message of inclusion. We affirm that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God, and that the great diversity expressed in humanity through our wide spectrum of unique sexualities and gender identities is a perfect reflection of the magnitude of God's creative work, according to a statement from Christians United, signed by over 300 religious leaders, educators, and activists from all major Christian denominations. It goes on to say, we stand in solidarity with LGBT folks and commit to standing alongside them in the work of resisting those who persecute them. And again, this is a number of over 300 Christian church organization leaders, as well as a number of citizens, have come together to say this. What do you think about this sentence here, where they say that the diversity of sexualities and gender identities is the perfect reflection of the magnitude of God's creative work?
Well, you know, when you think about what the Bible actually has to say, it's in stark contradiction. It says, and I created them male and female. Problem solved. You know, that you have in the beginning, and throughout the book, the Lord calls out in the Bible, you know, things are sinful. You lie, you cheat, you commit adultery, you same sex, have woman with women, homosexuality. All these things are sins in the Bible. So for these religious leaders, I question, what kind of religious Bible are they reading? Because if you're going to take the Bible for what it is, I think you either have to take it all for what it is and follow it, or you don't take any of it. There's no, well, I'll take this part because this part appeases me, but this one I want to leave out and this one I don't want to leave out. And I think that's why many Christians get frustrated with some of those religious leaders, because they change and move with the flow regardless of what it has to say in scripture. And that's why I think a lot of Christians are frustrated with the church, because the church isn't the church anymore when they can divert from the word of God and go on this tangent and whatever appeases, you know, their ears. And I know that this is something we were warned about, that would come. And I think we're just living in that generation, living in that immoral time. I mean, they took out prayer in the 1960s and crime skyrocketed. Bye-bye prayer, here comes crime. I mean, it's only a result of where we are as a culture and how far we've come from our Christianity, from our Christian roots.
Very well said. And I totally agree with you 100% on that.
And they go on to say that
Christianity stuff, coexistence, is, or the tolerance is crap.
No, it is. And what's really troubling is all these Christian leaders and pastors coming together for their Christians United to talk about different moral authority on queer identity. And they say conservative evangelicals get most of the airtime polluting the image of Christianity of one that is exclusive, condemning, and archaic. And it also goes on to say that personal beliefs about human sexuality have life or death consequences in our world. The social and systematic persecution of LGBT people creates real harm, and it is not of God. And
they're just mental cases.
And what they're doing is saying that by promoting the foundations of the Bible that God created only two sexes, man and a woman, leads to violence against LGBT people and is not indicative of the true Christianity of love and inclusiveness. It's just crazy.
And that's not true. That's not true. I mean, Christians love you if you're homo or heterosexual. We don't hate people. We don't hate the person God. And that would, too, go against the Bible. To say that
yes.
they're causing violence because of a certain view would not line up with what Christianity is meant to be. Christianity be you love the person in spite of the sin that they do. Because we were all sinners, and we all have mistakes. We all screw up. That's a fact of life. And so violence, to say that on that level, it's really, again, veering away from the true word of God. God doesn't say because someone's a homosexual, go and cause violence or go and do this. Or if someone's an adulterer, go and cause violence, go and do this. That's not what God's about. And
right.
I think that it's the left painting it in a very bad light when that's not what Christianity is about to begin with.
Well, you know, what's messed up is that they're actually promoting and encouraging people to embrace a sinful lifestyle that is completely opposite of what the Bible says we need to do. And then those people who have the discernment to point it out as being a sinful lifestyle are labeled as haters and enemies and intolerant of even the Christian religion. And this is how perverted Christianity or the idea of Christianity has become in the minds of the American people.
That's right. Now, Lisa, we only have a minute before you go. I just got an email here. I've got to communicate this to you. One of a frequent guest on our show and a brilliant author at the Hagman Report, as well as American thinker Peter Barry Chowka, sent an email. When you were talking, and this is circling right back to when you came on the show, Peter Barry Chowka says, small world, basically. He personally attended the very hearings in Washington, D.C. that you talked about back in the March and May of 1977, the very hearings that you referenced. And now it's a small world indeed. You may want to talk with him. It's an amazing, I mean, this man, he's an eyewitness to exactly what you opened with on this program. And he adds that they got a fair amount of mainstream media coverage at that time. And what a different Congress it is today versus the 70s.
Wow. I should get him on.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah, he's an articulate man. But Lisa, thank you so much. You and Diesel. All right.
LisaHaven.news, as well as her YouTube channel. Go and find Lisa Haven and subscribe to her channel. You can also find it off of her website, LisaHaven.news. Lisa, we thank you so much. It was a very fast and great interview. We look forward to having you back on, and keep up the good work. All right. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Don't go anywhere. We have Coach Dave coming up at 8:30. And he's got some pretty interesting stuff to get into. And then Pastor Langford will be joining us at 9. Next segment is news. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com.
Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.